This episode is sponsored by Day by Day Book, a guided journal that helps you navigate the ups and downs of change while creating a life you love. For more information on the classic recovery or teen day book, go to livedaybyday.com.
The message I want to share with the world is that there is hope for blended families. Blended families are not broken. They can be the most beautiful thing. I mean, yeah, it's hard, but doesn't mean that it's wrong. It doesn't mean that something is bad about it. It just means that the hard work is going to really, really pay off.
Welcome to Journeys Through Change, a podcast that inspires women to let go of the fear and say yes to possibility. I'm your host, Noelle Vann, an author, creator, and empowerment coach who spent years in corporate America helping innovators and leaders ride the waves of change with ease and grace. I now work with women to step into change and unleash the power they have to create a life they love. Whether you're contemplating a change in your career, relationship, health, lifestyle, or anything in between, nothing's off the table. I'll be offering up simple insights to help you manage the ups and downs of change and sharing interviews with successful women who took a leap of faith to create the life they knew they were meant to live, sharing their wisdom, advice, and all the juicy lessons they learned along the way. So get cozy in your favorite comfy chair and let's get started. Did you know that 40% of families in the U.S. are stepfamilies, and the divorce rate of blended families, where both partners have children from previous relationships, is almost 70%? When we think of typical family dynamics, we often laugh at how complicated these relationships can be. But when it comes to parenting a blended family, a whole new set of challenges can spring up, putting a ton of pressure on a marriage. After Brittany Phillips' divorce, she remarried with the expectation that love would overcome any obstacle, without a clue about the journey she was about to take with her new stepfamily. She's here to share the ups and downs of the exciting, beautiful, and often challenging experiences stepparents face and the road she took to overcome some of the toughest times to build a foundation for her thriving family. Brittany, I am so happy to have you here today with us. Thank you so much for joining us and welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Noelle. I am excited to talk about one of my favorite things.
Good. So first of all, Brittany, I think maybe the best place for us to start, and this, bear in mind, this is obviously where you feel most comfortable starting, but maybe take us through kind of before you went into your second marriage, just maybe some of the expectations and kind of just walk us through that so that we can get a little bit of a foundation.
I'm actually going to rewind a little bit more. I'm going to go back to, yeah. I got divorced. Obviously, nobody expects to ever get divorced, right? I think people go into a marriage thinking this will last forever. And it ended up being really scary and overwhelming, feeling like my life was over at this point. So now I find myself as a single mom. I have full custody of my daughter. And I, in my core, just believe in families and I believe in marriages. That's what I want. It was my dream. Always wanted it. And now it was gone, you know, right? Jumped into the dating world pretty quickly, knowing that I wanted to get remarried again someday. Wanted my daughter to have a father figure, all of these things. So that's a whole story. We could spend hours talking about dating.
Right. I was going to say that's a whole nother podcast. But now, how old is your daughter at the time?
She was 2. She was really young.
Oh, okay.
And so that was really important to me. I was like, I really want her to have like a strong father figure in her life. And I was young enough too that I was still in my 20s, my late 20s, that I was like, yeah, like this could probably happen in my lifetime. Yes, I could probably find love again. So I kind of jumped into that world, dated a lot of people, some who had never been married. And I did eventually open my mind to people that had been married before, learned a lot about myself, learned a lot about other people in the process. But when I met my husband, everything really clicked. We had both been through a divorce, both were parents, just connected on so many levels, same values, same visions for our future. And suddenly, all the despair and hopelessness that I felt kind of melted away. I was like, this is what I've been looking for.
I love that. Yeah.
And so things went pretty quick. Like we dived deep really fast, like really heartfelt, deep conversations really early on. And things just worked out. We introduced our kids a couple months later. They got along really well. We all got along. Like everybody liked everybody. And so just this hope that filled us, we're like, this is going to be beautiful and it's going to work really well. Our kids are pretty young still.
So how old were his kids? Did he have 2?
He just had 1. And his son was 6 at the time. Okay. Actually, he was 5 when we were dating. So 5 and 2. And it was great. They played really well. We all got along. It's just beautiful. But then we did get married. The kids are a little bit older now, 6 and 3. And it was immediately hard.
Okay, no, wait. When you say immediately hard, was there a turning point?
Yeah, so that we physically got married, and then I moved into their house. And that's when things got difficult. That totally unexpected. I wasn't planning on that. But just like, we're in their space, and they're feeling like, what's happening? We're shuffling bedrooms. All of a sudden, I have all of my things I'm trying to like stuff into the house wherever there's space, right? I have like my own set of kitchen supplies. Like we have 2 sets of utensils. What am I going to do with all these?
Which is like such a basic thing, but it's a problem. Like it is something you got to figure out.
Yeah. And it sounds so silly, but at the time, it was really important. Like I had just gained my independence, right? For my last marriage. And so that independence like was symbolic. And so to all of a sudden just get rid of everything again was scary. Very, very vulnerable to be like, yeah, fine, jump in 2 feet.
From the time you met him to the time you guys got engaged or married, what was that time frame? Was it pretty quick?
It was pretty quick. It was about 6 months total.
Yeah. So you're talking within a year, you're like new life, completely new life.
Yeah. And it kind of worked out that way because of timing with my job. I was a school teacher and I was like, we either do this now so I can move. And like, it was totally relocating us, or we wait till the school year is over so I work for another year. And it just logically didn't make sense. So that's why the timing of it, I was like, you know what? This is where we're going to go. Let's just do it.
Well, and there is that element too, when you're in love and you're ready to kind of get started. You know, I mean, that doesn't seem like, oh, that's so impulsive. It's kind of like, no, you kind of felt it was right and the timing felt right. And, you know, it's kind of like, why wait?
Well, exactly. And we weren't even having issues at the time.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, right. Give me an example of what started to show up once you moved in.
So once we moved in, all of a sudden, we're in each other's space all the time. Everybody. The kids are butting heads like, they're both only children. So not used to having to like have somebody else to share their toys or in their space, competing for our attention, for our time, all of that. We've got one child going back and forth between homes, one child who's with us all the time. And so that's a little complicated.
Right. So one spouse was in the picture, or ex-spouse was in the picture, but yours was not. Okay.
Yes. So there's that going on. And then something it makes sense now, but I didn't think about it beforehand, was how defensive we were going to get as parents. If our child is doing something and the other parent kind of steps in, and then all of a sudden those defensiveness, you know, like, don't say that to my kid, like just mother bear, father bear comes out.
Totally. I could see that. Yeah.
Really, really sensitive about how everything is handled. Our parenting styles were a little bit different. We still have the same goal, same vision, but we do it a little bit differently, which is super common. That's hard. Like, how do we get on the same page if we view life differently? We've already been parents. I've been doing it this way. You've been doing it that way. How do we mesh this? And then, you know, our kids are used to it this one particular way. And now all of a sudden everything's changing. There's new rules. There's new ways we do things, new even like traditions and things like that, that can be tricky for the kids to all of a sudden have all this change.
Well, and I was thinking too, like when you have 2 parents that are the parents of one child, things will come up. I mean, that's like you said, I mean, you're still going to have maybe an argument here or there about, well, you're being really easy on them and I'm not. But there's that common understanding that it's like, but it's both of our kids. So like we have equal sort of say. It's interesting when you say it's like, there's not a power struggle, but almost like a, well, this is my kid, so let me talk to him. Type of feeling to some degree, even if it's subtle. That I can imagine that being a very subtle sort of shift in how you communicate too.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's just a lot of complicated feelings that surface, even like things like jealousy, like with the kids spending different amount of times with us, just really simple things that you don't realize are going to surface through, which I don't actually think it's a problem. I think it's an opportunity to heal. That's where I view it now. But at the time, it felt like such a big problem. Like, oh, I'm feeling all these, what I would call negative emotions, frustration, anger, jealousy, resentment even, right? These are all coming up for me. All of a sudden, I'm shaming myself. I'm such a terrible person. Why would I even think this way, right?
Right. Because that's where we always go, inward, right? Mm-hmm. Was this going on for a year's time? Was it like, when did you decide, or did you guys have a conversation about it that was like, okay, this isn't working the way we want it to?
The first year was hands down the hardest, just because of all the changes on every person in the family. But we did actually in that first year decide to move to a new house. And there was something symbolic and actually like physically too about this is ours together.
Yes.
And we're starting here. We also, once we moved, like started going to see a couple's therapists to help us with our defenses, because that was a problem, especially since we've come from unhealthy relationships, both of us. How can we communicate in a healthy way? Because we were scared being taken advantage of again, both of us. So how do we work through that? How do we work through all the things? Every single one of us had gone through some kind of trauma, right? A loss, a huge loss of some sort, and trying to heal in the process. So that's, I think, a huge part of what makes blended families tricky, is because every person in the family is going through their own healing process. There are things in the stepfamily where I didn't know there was a name for it, but I could tell you by experience that I knew about it.
Yes.
it's called the loyalty bind, where a child has a hard time accepting a new adult in their life because they feel like they're being disloyal to their biological parent.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I mean, I can see where that comes up, but that's interesting that there's like even a name for it, that's something that's so prevalent.
And it makes so much sense. I come into my stepson's life and all of a sudden I'm like, hey, let's do this. And he's like hesitant. If I like you, what's my mom going to think? Is she going to think I just hate her guts? Like, I don't want to hurt her. And so there's this conflict within them that they're going through. So a lot of times what happened is like the step parent is like getting all the negativity because the child doesn't want to feel like they're disowning their parent. When you think of it that way, like what happens is the step parent will take it personal. Right. And they're like, this kid hates me. I don't know what I've done wrong. They just never want to be around me. Right. But when you can think about it from the child's perspective, like that's awful. I can't imagine having to feel so torn at such a young age, or at any age, right, in childhood. That's terrible. So when you're able to like kind of shift the perspective, makes all the difference.
Did you have a point in time where you, was this kind of through therapy that you figured that out? Or was there conversations that you had with, because that's the thing, it's like, it's such real life that you think, wow, there's so much complexity around it, as in, I mean, family dynamics just in general, right? It's like,
right,
you get the family dynamics that we all go through, even if you're in an intact family, and then this has sort of that added element to it. So was there a lot of sort of unraveling of that?
I'm embarrassed to say this, but it literally took me years to get to that place because I didn't have anyone to say, hey, there's a word for this. Like, this is a thing that happens. It took me one day, it just hit me like, oh my gosh, this is not about me. But it was literal years down the road.
Which makes sense, right? Because you're not going to get that right away, especially if you're going through what you're going through. But so when did you guys go into therapy? Was it a few years in?
It was probably about 1 year into it. We actually added two more kids. So we have a yours, mine, and ours.
I love it.
Yes, but we did. We went to couples therapy before we added the first of the two.
Got it. So you guys were pretty, you were ready. You were kind of prepared and ready for what you needed to kind of put in front of you.
Well, yeah, the best we could.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll be really honest, like adding that other element, like will bring up, it resurfaced other triggers. And I'd say the word triggers, like I've actually done so much learning about that sense, but triggers are super uncomfortable and we all have them, right? Things that remind us of something that happened in the past and our body's like panicking. I've learned since that triggers are actually opportunities for us to heal that past version of ourselves. So adding this new baby, the first one especially, was very triggering in different ways. It actually affected my husband, I think, more than it did me for that one. But there was healing there. There was opportunity to grow and become better. And like hindsight, we've been married almost 10 years now. Just the growth that we've made as a family and as a couple is mind-blowing.
Well, now when you say triggers though, do you mind sharing what that is? Like, so what is the trigger that would come up just as an example in having now that third child, the child between the two of you?
A lot of it was kind of timing for him. When his marriage kind of seemed to fall apart was timed with them having a baby. And so it was kind of like, oh, this is happening. Like, what's going to happen in the future, right? Just a lot of unknowns. Yeah, so that was part of it. But actually, I was triggered as we were trying to get pregnant, which is a whole different story because I had dealt with infertility for years.
Before you had your girl?
Yeah, so actually, this is like a super side story, but my daughter was actually adopted.
Oh, okay,
in my first
okay.
marriage because I was never able to get pregnant. So as we were like trying to get pregnant, that brought up a lot for me. Got pregnant. So then I was like, okay. And then it was his turn to not be okay. Right.
You guys are dealing with a lot. Oh my gosh. But it sounds like the thing that's so wonderful to hear though, I mean, because even just the adopted daughter, that's a whole nother, right? I mean, you just add all the layers to it, but it sounds like you became more and more aware as time went on, which I think is the key, right? Of like understanding what's actually happening probably is half of it.
Oh,
because then
absolutely.
You know how to deal with it, right? It's like, why is this kid acting so strange? And then if you put yourself in their shoes and be able to be out of your own head because you're dealing with what you're dealing with.
Yeah, I think that's probably the most important first step is like realizing what is even happening, getting curious. Why am I feeling this way? What is this bringing up for me? Where do I have the opportunity to heal? Because I felt really broken. I was like, everything's wrong with me. Now I realize after working with lots of people in this area, I realize that we're all a little broken and it's
absolutely
meant to be that way. It's meant to be that way. And that's okay. And so as we come into a marriage, into a family, I think families are an opportunity to help us become better versions of ourselves. Marriages, that's what marriages are about.
It's kind of like, you know, as in any relationship that you're in, and I know that as families grow, right? Those are all like testing grounds for everything. Things come up about your own childhood and things. I mean, I feel like that's just, it's ample room to grow and learn. Did you guys come together in therapy? And then were there strategies that you came up with to sort of help to counteract some of these challenges that you were having?
Yes. And I'll be really honest, like I don't actually remember a lot of what we did in the therapy.
I understand.
It's been a while. But I know that just with time, we were able to kind of figure out how to communicate better, how to get on the same page, and just even shifting what was happening inside of me. I think I hate admitting some of the things I did. I know I messed up a lot. That's why I can help people because there's no judgment. I went into it being like wanting to control things, like wanting it to look and be a certain way. And I had to let go a lot of those things that I was holding on to. Like, this is how parenting should look. This is how our house should look. This is how our kids should be behaving. Those types of like concepts I had to let go before I could make any progress.
That's a huge awakening too, though, I can imagine, because I think a lot of times in life, just that control piece comes in, especially when things go off the side of the road. You know, you feel like, okay, now I really have to like grab even more tightly to this. And you're dealing with other human beings, which is like virtually impossible to control, right?
Yes, sounds
like that.
Yes.
I think it's a big awakening once that happens and you go, oh, right. Okay. That's definitely, it's not easy, I'm sure.
Yeah. And as you're talking, it reminded me of one of our frustrations. Our kids were like polar opposites. Energy levels, the way they think, just everything completely opposite. And they're both like pretty stubborn. So they had that one thing in common. So I felt like the way my child did it was right because that's all I knew, right? And he felt like the way his child was doing it was right. And just honestly, just being able to watch them over the last few years learn from each other.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, they have become different people. And one has taught the other one how to be more empathetic. What the other has taught the other how to like be more confident and like put yourself out there and talk to people, right? And they have taken their weaknesses and taught each other their strengths. And it's so beautiful. Like that is what family is about. That's what relationships do to us.
And it's almost like they've become true siblings. They've always been siblings, but you know, and I mean, I guess it depends on your experience as a sibling, because some siblings are not that close. But when, I mean, when you look at it from that perspective of like learning from family and being able to see opposites as helping that, like, how can I become a little bit more like that? Maybe you can become a little bit more like how I approach life and, right, and come up with new lessons from it, which is just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, it's so, so fun to watch as the parent too. I just have to
say. Now, how old are they now?
They are 15 and almost 13.
Oh, okay. So you got teens now. This is like the time. This is the time when it all comes out. But, and then the two youngest are how old?
They are 7 and 4.
Oh, sweet. So you must have had great holidays. That's just such fun ages.
Oh, perfect age for like doing all the family things. Like we have them all here still. And it's so fun to watch just the progress that everybody's made. My kids, I think they might get along better than most kids now. Like most siblings, they look forward to seeing each other. They get excited about spending time together because they're not always together, right? So they do have time apart, and then they look forward to the time we do have. But the two oldest, rarely, I don't even remember the last time I saw them have a disagreement or an argument about something, which I wouldn't have believed it if you had told me that.
I mean, the thing that's so beautiful about that too is they've gone through so much together, and whether it's even something that, it may not even be everything that you've experienced with them. They've experienced things personally. And I just think that is so great to see. And it's a true testament to you and your husband of doing the work to help, you know, say, this is not perfect and this is actually really uncomfortable for all of us right now, but let's figure out what we can do. Now, you had mentioned earlier, when we had just talked initially about this, you had mentioned that because you do work with women. And so you mentioned something about there's a cycle. Can you explain a little bit more about that? Just the cycle that happens with step families for anybody that's listening that might be in the same, you know, in the same situation.
Yeah. So actually, but our story is basically the stages of the predictable stages. I think it's Patricia Papernow. I don't know if that's how you say your name, but she wrote down the cycle, kind of like the grief cycle that people go through.
Okay.
Similar cycle for people in blended families, the different stages that you will go through. And it starts with that fantasy mindset that I described at the beginning there. Oh, this is so good. It's going to be great. And there are definitely predictable stages. It usually gets pretty tricky around stage 4 or 5. That's when people want to get divorced. And they're like, this is too hard. Where everything just feels like so much tension and it's not going to work. And actually, it's stage 6 when things finally piece together. And so usually when they're quitting is like right before the shift happens.
And why is that, I wonder? Is that because you're sort of at the peak of frustration and you know that is it a mindset shift or is it more of a...
I think it comes down to realizing that some changes need to be made.
Or other decisions need to be made, right? Like
right.
It's either going to work or it's not.
We can't keep doing it this way. So what can we do? And that's kind of when you like get real with the circumstances, accepting the reality that this is complex. We have these things, like I can't control this and this and this. So what can I control? And that's when the shift happens. So it peaks, like it's so hard. We've got to do something different. Changes happen. And that's when we find more clarity and peace.
And understanding, right? Mm-hmm. Of kind of what you're dealing with and what needs to be accepted. So this cycle are there literally 5 or 6 stages to it?
I think
or
there's 7 stages. I actually can't remember off the top of my head.
And I was going to say, we can certainly direct people to that in the show notes too, just so that people can take a look at each of those. But so when you and your husband then, I mean, you said you kind of pretty much, you went through that cycle pretty like sight and verse together. Did you have a pivotal moment with him before? So like right at that height where you kind of realize that it's either this or we have to make other choices. Was there any particular, I don't know, moment or epiphany you had or anything that you can recall that really shifted something with both of you?
Oh, I can't remember like a one particular moment. There were a lot of many like baby steps.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really where like, oh, we made progress when we moved. We made progress when we went to the therapist. We made progress when we had our baby together. Like, that brought us together. We made progress in all these ways. It was really in the little things. One day I noticed our kids were reading a book together. Why do I remember that so vividly? It's still just in my brain like, oh, look, it's not awful. Everything is not terrible.
Progress.
Yeah. So I really think it is in those little things that sometimes we miss because we're so caught up in how hard it is that's where you'll start to see.
I was going to ask you too, when you think of this on a personal level, right? Because think of the sort of stages that you went through, not stages, but maybe getting divorced, going through that, your first divorce, being a single mom, getting remarried, working through this, which sounds like this was several years of having to kind of really go through compromise and understanding and talking it out and sharing feelings and communication and all that stuff. Yeah. Would you say, like, if you were to look back on where you were then and where you are now, what would you say has been kind of your biggest lesson?
My biggest lesson.
Or maybe there's a couple. I don't know. Because there's a lot.
There's so many lessons. That's why I'm like, I'm a different person than I was then. And I think the biggest change that's happened in me is I've learned to stop trying to control everything in my life.
Which is a big one. That's huge.
Yeah, that was hard, especially coming from a place where my first marriage, I just felt like I had no control at all. Like it was not a healthy relationship, which is why there's no contact there anymore. Trying to find myself again, I was just like clinging on to like, this is who I am. Like, don't change me. But not realizing that allowing ourselves to be open is actually how we can change into something more beautiful, but it's very vulnerable. And that's scary if you're not ready and willing to be vulnerable.
Yeah. I think it kind of speaks to the messiness of life, right? Like all of us kind of have our lessons that come from all of these things that just kind of get thrown our way that we weren't necessarily expecting. Yeah. And then when you look back on it, like right now you're looking back on it with the perspective of like, wow, first of all, that was worth it, which I think you probably, I would venture to guess you went in with that feeling, right? It's not like you were going in with the feeling of this isn't going to work. You wanted this to work from the beginning, but it does take that tenacity and that real like power through. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. And it's so wonderful to hear that your family, as blended as it is, how good everybody's doing. It's amazing to hear that because I think that a lot of people would really want to know how to do that in a way that they can learn from it and grow from it just like their kids. Now you work with women. So I want to ask you a little bit, we're going to put your links in the show notes too, but do you typically work like one-on-one with women? How did you get into the work with women? First of all,
this is kind of a long story. I'll say it short, but I did not want to do this. I did not want to.
Okay, good to know.
You hear about blended families are hard. Well, you also hear about how being a business owner is hard. And I was like, I did not want to sign up for more hard. That sounds stressful and frustrating. Yeah, yeah. I was very hesitant, but I can't even describe to you this pulling I felt in my soul. Like, you need to help other people through these circumstances. And there was a reason you went through it. And it wasn't just for you. It was like, I just kept hearing it this over and over in my heart. And I fought it and I fought it. And I thought, okay, maybe I'll go back to school. I was a school teacher before. And so I thought, well, I don't want to be in the classroom, but I know that I love to work with people. I love to help people and teach them. And so it almost took me, I think, like a year to come to this, like, well, do I want to be a therapist? I don't think that's quite what I want to do. I want to like be a giver of hope. I want to cheer people on and help them. And I had this idea of what life coaches were in my brain. And I was like, that's so yucky. I hated it. And then one day I realized that that was like my dream job. And so that was very humbling to realize that.
You know what? For any of us that walk into something where you're like, I don't know why I'm walking towards this. I have my own judgment about it. But it's interesting. Like you said, if it's something that you're kind of, it's sort of how you're built, it becomes undeniable.
It was. So I took the leap of faith. I was like, hey, I'm doing this and jumping in with 2 feet. I got certified as a life coach. I got certified as a step parent coach because I knew that that's kind of where I wanted to go.
And I love that there's such a thing. I did not know there was such a thing. Okay.
Good to know. Kind of like a specialty area.
Yep.
And it's been, I wish I could say it's been like perfect and amazing, but it hasn't. It's been really hard.
Well, building a business, right? It's a whole nother set of lessons, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Honestly, the thing that keeps coming to my head is I wanted to give up in my blended family, and I'm so glad I didn't. There is another side to it, and I just keep telling myself that about business. Like, this is hard, and I recognize I'm in the hard part of it, and there's going to be another side to this difficult. It's just so much learning curve, right? So many changes, so many things.
Yes.
Have to learn how to be on social media and on podcasts.
I know. I hear you. And the thing, though, that's so wonderful about all of this, Brittany, when I hear you talk, though, is yes, business for anybody is challenging, right? And we all go through those days where you're like, what the heck am I doing? You know? But I think the one thing that really reigns true for most of us is if you have that burning desire, or you know that there is a place for you to be helping people and serving others, it kind of trumps all that. And in a weird way, it's like, yeah, you're going through it and we all go through that. But if you have that understanding and knowledge that like, this is what feels right to me, and the story that you have behind it, which is not just, hey, I got into this blended married situation and I have this blended family and everything went fine. No, you went through all the ups and downs. So when you're dealing with that with any of your clients or any of the people that you're working with, you have that perspective, and that's gold to people. So first of all, Brittany, I want to thank you for joining us because this has been it's been so enlightening to me just to hear about, because we don't hear this from people most of the time. And
right. When
we talk about the statistics, my gosh, blended families are everywhere. So you are doing powerful work. You are doing important work. I hope that anybody that's listening to this will seek you out to see what you're all about and at least get some understanding of the process, because I think it could help a lot of people. And there's a lot of people still going through it and being on the other end of it, right? Like, you can show them what it looks like, which is just amazing. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And we're going to share all of Brittany's links on the show notes as well. But Brittany, is there anything else coming up for you that you want to share?
I just want to thank you so much for letting me come on and kind of share my story. And the message I want to share with the world is that there is hope for blended families. Blended families are not broken. They can be the most beautiful thing. I mean, yeah, it's hard. But doesn't mean that it's wrong. It doesn't mean that something is bad about it. It just means that the hard work is going to really, really pay off.
I love that. Brittany, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your time and for sharing all of this with us. We love your story. And I can't wait to hear more about what you're doing in the world, because it sounds like you're just getting started.
Hoping.
Yes, of course. All right. Well, that's it for now. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Journeys Through Change podcast. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or really wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us and leave a review if you've enjoyed this episode. And share it with a friend or on social media to spread the good word, so more women like you can find us and join in on the fun. For more information on the podcast or Day by Day book, go to livedaybyday.com.